Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining me today is Carrie Penman. Carrie is the Chief Compliance Officer and Senior Vice President of Advisory Services for Navex Global. Carrie, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Hey, Adam. Thanks. I'm really glad to be here with you.
So we're going to talk today about the 2018 Ethics and Compliance Hotline and Incident Management Benchmarking Report. And first, can you talk about how you put the data together for this report?
Sure, absolutely. As you probably know, Adam, Navex Global has the world's largest database of hotline and incident management reports, and it gives us a very unique opportunity to be able to analyze this data and make it available to the industry to help them benchmark their programs and to be able to report their numbers against benchmarks to leadership and their boards of directors. So in this report reflects data from 2017, and in 2017, we analyzed, received approximately 900,000 reports, and those represented calls, web reporting, and some all other methods, which I know we'll talk about in a little bit, where people are entering reports that come to them, say from a letter to the chairman or a walk into their office. So we analyzed those reports covering 31 industries. And one of the things I want to highlight is that we use medians rather than averages to reduce the impact of outliers and to ensure that that people are getting a number that isn't just reflective of a very large or a very small organization.
Interesting. So let's talk, you know, you mentioned some big numbers to begin with, but let's talk about the big numbers first. Are the number of reports going up or down? And, you know, depending on which way, what does that mean, do you think?
So great question. I think over the last 8 or so years, it has steadily been going up. And it's really up about 56% since 2009, 2010, where organizations were receiving about 0.9 reports per 100 employees. This past year and the year before, it was up to 1.4 reports per 100 employees. So it was actually a pretty significant jump, like I said, about 56% since the 2009, 2010. And I think these elevated numbers are here to stay and that organizations really need to ensure they have the appropriate resources to be able to deal with this higher level of reporting.
And so just to follow up on that, I mean, do you think that the increased numbers are a good thing or a bad thing?
I do think it's a good thing. And, you know, even with it going up, it still is only about 1 to 2% of the employee population reporting to our hotline system in any given year. And we know that employees are also making reports through the other avenues that we make available to them, whether it be reporting to managers or going to HR or to legal. So, you know, this is just the percentage of reports that are coming to the compliance team for the most part. And so I think what this does say is that it's very important to have multiple channels for employees to make their reports. And the more that organizations can document all of the types of reports they receive, the more holistic picture they will get of what's happening in the organization.
Now, a lot of companies struggle with the idea of how many reports should I be getting? I mean, should the sort of 1.4 or 1.5 number that you gave per 100, is that sort of, you know, should be, can companies be concerned if they're more or less than that?
I would say no. We also, in our data, provide a range. And that range has varied over the years, but it's somewhere around 0.5% to up to 11%. So that's really the central 80%. And we don't really see a problem if your numbers are falling in that central 80%, because there's a whole host of reasons why it may be on the lower end of the range or the higher end of the range. For example, some organizations have separate reporting lines for, say, HR or maybe environment or health and safety. And so depending on how the organization chooses to make resources available, they may see different levels of reporting specifically to their hotline system.
Okay, good to know. Now, one thing I thought was notable is for all the talk of the importance of helplines, that's, as you mentioned earlier, not the only way the reports come in. In fact, you found that about a third come in through other means, such as just showing up at the compliance officer's door. What's really also interesting to me is that those claims were most likely to be substantiated. Can you recap some of the numbers and what you think is going on there?
Yes, that is fascinating. And this year we saw a very significant change, not in the breakdown of how reports are coming in, but in the substantiation rate of those reports. So as you noted, we have quite a few reports that come in from other methods. It was 39% of the reports that came in via other methods. 38% came
And
in
by the way,
via.
other methods being not through the helpline, right?
Correct. But it may be, to your point, a walk into the compliance officer or the CEO forwarding a letter to the compliance team that came into the CEO. It might be an email that you receive or a phone call directly to the compliance officer. So, generally it still is some contact with the compliance team or maybe the HR team if they're also tracking their numbers in the system, but it is generally some contact with the program. It just may be coming in from a different method, like an email or a letter. People do actually still write letters, by the way. So, the phone is still about 38%, so people are using the phone. And web reporting has been steadily going up a little bit, but not too much. It stayed around 23%, and I would have actually expected to see a higher use of web reporting with the way that people communicate now more electronically than they do by phone. But phone's pretty popular, as are the face-to-face direct contacts. And what was most interesting is, well, first of all, we had an overall increase in substantiation reports significantly, and it went up 10%. So last year, 40% of all reports were substantiated, and this year, 44% of all reports were substantiated. And one of the biggest jumps was in those matters that came in through other methods. And that jumped from 46% substantiation to 64% substantiation. So, and I'm guessing the reason you're asking me this question is to tell our audience that these other methods are very important to our organization and important for us to document because that's where we're getting some of the most likely to be substantiated cases.
Yeah, and it's also a good, reminder that for all the talk about the importance of helplines, and they are very important, you can't discount all the other methods and the need to keep doors open for people to raise issues. So,
Absolutely. And I think, oh, I'm sorry, Adam.
no, go ahead.
So I do think that it's also important for organizations to document the reports that do come in via other methods, like through HR or also through managers, because those are really, if you think about it, we train employees or educate employees on, take your issue to your manager first. And if you're not comfortable going to your manager, then you have a variety of other options available to you. So I think for organizations to be able to capture the reports that come in from the methods beyond the hotline, to your point, is very important. They're more likely to be substantiated, although the methods through the hotline are also substantiated at a very high rate as well. And it will give organizations the opportunity to catch problems earlier if you have a more holistic view of the types and numbers of reports that are coming in and where they're coming from.
Good point. So let's talk about anonymous reports. There's historically been a lot of suspicion of them, that people are more likely to use that as revenge rather than for honest inquiries. Tell us about what your data actually shows.
Right. So, first of all, anonymous reports are now being substantiated at a rate close to 40%. So, 39% of all the anonymous reports received were substantiated. And to be clear, we define substantiation as all or in part. And so, 40% is pretty significant, and I think it's a good reminder to those who are suspicious of anonymous reports that people have a variety of reasons for being anonymous, but it doesn't mean that they don't have something important to tell us. And so I think through the years, we found that the rate of anonymous reporting has actually been going down just a little bit, but it has been going down. But we're still getting high quality reports, even at the anonymous level. And if I could put a plug in here, because it's a great question that you asked. Deborah Henley and I are doing a session actually at the fall SCCE conference about anonymous reporters, and you know, all these years later, are they getting the respect that they deserve? So we'll have a good conversation at the fall conference about this very topic.
Great. And I should note, since these podcasts do live on for years, it's the fall 2018 conference she's talking about. So I'm glad you're going to be addressing this topic. Let's talk about two last issues as we start to run out of time. First is the data shows that the number of harassment reports rose towards the end of the year. Is that an effect you think we're seeing because of the Me Too movement, that people are feeling more comfortable about coming forward and raising these issues?
I do think that we are seeing some of the impact there. So to your point, we looked at the numbers the first three quarters of last year versus the last quarter, basically, pre and post the news stories about the Harvey Weinstein matter. And we found in the first three quarters of last year that the rate of reporting within the HR diversity and workplace respect issues, those that were specific to harassment, were 9.8% of all of the reports in the HR category. After October 5th, when the story ran about Harvey Weinstein, and through the rest of the end of the year, the rate of reporting was 10.9. So jumped from 9.8 to 10.9. And I suspect that this is the tip of the iceberg. And further, I think many of these reports are still going externally to regulatory agencies as opposed to internally in organizations. So this is something that compliance teams are obviously spending a lot of time now really working on getting their arms around. I know many boards of directors are asking for more data around harassment issues. So we're going to work to continue to be able to provide more granular information about what is coming into organizations. But I think it's the tip of the iceberg, and we'll be very interested to watch and see what happens through this year.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. And then finally, retaliation. One of its great concern, obviously, to employees, what does the data reveal in that area?
Yeah, the data here is a mixed bag. And you know, for many years, I've commented that our ethics and compliance programs are receiving very few reports that include claims of retaliation. It's always been a little bit less than 1% of all the reports received are claims of retaliation. This actually dropped in 2017 from somewhere, you know, around 9% to somewhere around 6% or 0.6%. So from 0.9 to 0.66% of the reports were claims of retaliation. That said, you know, we all know that many claims of retaliation are going to agencies like the EEOC and others. And so I think for the most part, we aren't getting a second chance to make a first impression. If somebody has raised an issue and they feel they've experienced retaliation, they're not likely to come back to us. They're likely to take that issue somewhere else. But the good part of it, if you can say this is good news, is that we did see a significant increase in the substantiation rate of claims of retaliation. So that jumped up to 32% of all the retaliation claims were substantiated. So if we get a chance to address it, we're finding more and more often that it is true.
Well, interesting indeed. Carrie, thank you so much for sharing your perspectives on the data. For those of you who are listening, in case you missed it, if you go back to the blog post where you found the podcast, you'll find a link to the survey report. Carrie, again, thank you for taking the time to share all of this with us. Thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCC and HCCA, saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives.